Welcome to another edition of the Cyclone Fanatic Podcast. It stands and fits. Not probably going to be like our usual episodes of Stands and Fits. Recording this on September 18th at 5:18 p.m. And it has been a rough day.
Yeah, we were both kind of talking before we came on. We've both kind of been down today, just coming off of the news, obviously, of a former Big 12 champion golfer.
Do you know how to say her name?
I don't have it in front of me, but yeah.
It's Thelia Barquin Arozamena.
There you go.
Yeah. Obviously, some news that really rocked Iowa State and people in Cyclone Nation, people in the Iowa State Athletic Department, and really just the entire city of Ames. And I spent the entire day up in Ames. I don't know how this is going to go for me. I have been really struggling ever since I left Ames earlier this afternoon. But just being around town felt really weird. It was very dreary, and it rained for most of the day, and it felt like that was
symbolic.
It was symbolic of the mood around town. Just walking into the Jacobson building this morning, everything was very quiet, and it was just felt like all of the air had been taken out of the building. Even being at Matt Campbell's press conference, talking about football just felt really silly today. And like, just my job felt really silly today, of being someone who writes about sports, spends the majority of my time thinking about sports. That feels very irrelevant. That's why today we probably will really not talk about a ton of football. We're going to answer mailbag questions in the second and third segments. And we're probably not going to do most of our other usual things. We're not going to do hot and not or anything like that. But this just feels like a day when, yeah, like I said, football feels very irrelevant.
Yeah,
thinking about football feels silly.
It's a tough day. And, I think you'll see that when you see, if you've watched Jamie Pollard's presser and all the videos that have come out of today's conferences, you know, it's just everyone's very emotional. And it's been a heavy experience, obviously, to say the least.
Yeah, and I don't know how to really describe it, you know? Because I think that before today, I think a lot of Iowa State people affiliated with Iowa State fans, had probably heard Thelia's name, but I'm not sure how many people really knew that much about her. And that was something, last night when it came out, you know, that they had arrested someone and that they had identified the victim, I read the press release and I was like, man, that name sounds super familiar, but I don't know why. And once I did some more research and found out more about her, and this is something that I've thought about all day, and this is something even that Jamie Pollard brought up in his press conference, I feel really stupid on some level, because she did a lot of stuff that really no Cyclone had ever done before. She's the school's all-time leader in scoring average on the golf course. She was the second Cyclone ever to be the Big 12 champion in women's golf. And I'm not sure that before today, we had ever posted a story about her on our website. And realizing that, like, really hit me deep, because I think we do as good a job as anybody. I like to think that we do a better job than most anybody at covering the Cyclones and keeping people informed about the Iowa State Athletic Department. And that really, I don't know, that hurts.
Yeah.
That hurts me just because of what we try to do and what has happened now.
And I think, you know, the gravity of all this is enhanced just because of the fact that you hear all these stories from people who were close to her. Mm-hmm. And by all accounts, she was just a great, like, bubbly kind of personality too. Like, you know, going around just being a good person in general. So that makes it even tougher to stomach.
And just from everything you hear people say about her, she loved being a Cyclone.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, I think anybody that goes to Iowa State or anybody that really to this day loves Iowa State, just how much that means to them and how much all of it means to them and how much the city of Ames means to them. I mean, it is that way for me. And that's, I think that's a big part of why it hurts so bad, just because you don't ever.
She's not immediate family, but she's Cyclone family.
Yeah. Yeah. She's one of us. Like, she's one of our own.
Yeah.
You know, and she's someone who came from halfway across the world to be one of us.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you and me, you know, I'm from Clarinda, which is 2.5 hours away from Ames.
Yep.
Albia is how far from Ames?
2 hours.
Exactly. So, like, that's one thing for us to be Cyclones, to want to be Cyclones and want to be part of everything that happens at Iowa State. To come from Spain,
mm-hmm.
That's crazy.
Like, she could have gone obviously she's very talented. She could have gone anywhere in the United States or anywhere in the world she wanted to golf, but she came here.
Right. And she was just a remarkable representative of Iowa State. And that kind of goes back to what I said, where it kills me that we didn't do more to make sure that people, when that happened, that people knew what her name was and exactly why they should know who she is. And I mean, the idea of an act so heinous and so terrible and so cowardly happening in Ames, Iowa, it feels unfathomable to me. Because this kind of stuff shouldn't happen anywhere. But it feels like it really shouldn't happen in Ames.
Yeah, because there's so much news nowadays that, you know, when you see a tweet like that come up in your timeline, it's like you kind of don't really react to it the same way when it's somewhere else,
yeah,
as opposed to when it's in your own backyard.
Right, and even when I first saw it, obviously it's shocking because you don't expect that.
Mm.
But as more and more of the details come out about what has happened and the man who did this, it's just like I said, it's unfathomable.
Yeah.
You know, and it's just jarring.
Mm-hmm.
And it makes you, it like really makes you wonder, like, if this kind of thing can happen in Ames, like where is anybody safe on some level?
And that's the thing. I mean, you can go anywhere and you might, you know, theoretically nothing ever could go bad, but then, you know, something snaps in someone's mind, or, you know, you come across someone who's not supposed to be there, that kind of thing. Anything can happen.
And that's what's so crazy about this whole deal, is that it's not like
it wasn't like
he was targeting her specifically,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
It's just that, I mean, Jamie Pollard said this in his press conference. She just was in the absolute wrong place at the absolute wrong time.
Yeah.
When a really, really terrible person, a monster, I think you could even say, someone who is an abomination to the human race, is lurking.
Yeah.
And that's terrifying.
Yeah. And, you know, something I was thinking about just throughout the day, too, is I have two sisters who are going to Iowa State, and neither of them golf, but at the same time, you know, who's to say that guy hasn't, you know, wandered closer to campus, and,
right,
you know,
or even just being on a trail, or,
yeah.
I mean, I used to live, so, for people that don't know that area that well, I mean, I assume most people that listen to this know that area relatively well. Coldwater's right there, and then there's the Grove Apartments. Copper Beach is over there. There's some other apartments,
yep,
that are in that area. I lived at the Grove, and I used to walk on that walking trail that is back behind the Grove and kind of connects to Coldwater.
Mm-hmm.
I used to walk on that all the time.
Yeah.
And there was a bridge that's back there that is on the trail, kind of, it's in between where that is and then the Hy-Vee, yep, on Grand. And we'd go back there all the time and just walk around, you know?
Yeah.
And it was just, like, that was what we'd do. And it didn't matter if it was in the middle of the day. I mean, we'd do it at midnight sometimes.
Yeah.
And the idea of that kind of person lurking in that area,
mm,
that is really jarring.
Yeah. and I didn't live at the Grove, but I had definitely golfed at Coldwater before. So I had, you know, that same place between 8 green and 9 tee box where, you know, apparently he was lurking, waiting for her.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'd been there before. That's just something weird to think about.
Yeah. And it makes me sick, man.
Yeah.
It really does. And I don't know. It was so eerie, mm-hmm. like being at the Jacobson Building.
Yeah. And I think, you know, even though they're going to have a memorial for her at the game on Saturday, it's still...
It doesn't feel like enough still.
Yeah, you can't really put closure on that. It's just such a evil, unnecessary act that, like, you know, it's still going to be felt months from now.
Yeah. And that's what another one of the things that Jamie Pollard talked about, where, you know, this is going to be a process. Like, it sucks, you know? And I think even on Saturday, going to the game, it's just going to be like this is,
yeah.
It doesn't feel like time to play games.
No. And, you know, people are, they're spreading around on social media that, you know, they wanted fans to wear yellow.
Yeah.
Because that was her favorite color, apparently. And, you know, it's just a subtle, easy way to kind of, you know, remember her. But even then, like a stadium full of yellow, it's not going to do anything. It's not going to bring her back.
Yeah. And, I mean, I hurt so much for, like, the people that did know her. Her teammates.
Yeah.
And her family. Her coaches. That... Because they're all part of us, like this group too.
Yeah.
I mean, we're crazy, you know?
Yeah.
And that's what makes Iowa State so beautiful is that, and this is what Matt Campbell was talking about, how close everything is. There's not many, obviously I haven't been around every fan base. I haven't been around every college,
mm-hmm.
but Iowa State feels like legitimately feels like a family. Like mm-hmm. if you love Iowa State, you can meet someone that you've never met in your entire life and you talk to them. And if you guys can come to the realization that you have a mutual love for the Cyclones and for Iowa State University, then you have that's a bond. Like that's instantly a bond.
Mm-hmm.
And that, I think that's what makes this so like, that's just another one of those things that makes this so hard
is definitely.
That it's just like family member, like you said.
Yeah.
And the fan base is that way. I think the people on Twitter are that way, where it doesn't feel like we have that many bad eggs. And even if there is a bad egg, like you can still say, okay, well, at least we agree about the Cyclones still.
Yeah. Yeah. And so we can sit here and obviously we can feel bad and, you know, terrible on the inside about it too, but like kind of like you mentioned, like it's still not even on the level that her friends and family are experiencing right now too.
Yeah. And I mean, I think that like there's nothing that no individual person can do to fix anything.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, you know,
you can have debates on what could have prevented this as well.
Yeah.
But
and that's what kind of made me sad to see on our forums. I'm not going to sit here and lie that our forums are always the best place to get your best view of what humanity is like.
Yeah.
But, well, actually, I guess maybe they kind of could be.
they're a great representation.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But to see the thread about this get turned into that, mm-hmm. I mean, a political discussion or, you know, an indictment on a lot of different things, that made me sick to my stomach a little bit because it's just like, man, can't we put that aside for
a week
or even a day.
Yeah.
And just like think about this person that was very successful in what she did and lost her life doing what she loved to do. It doesn't feel like it's the time. It's not the time to talk about football.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's not the time to talk about what you think of homeless encampments. Like it's just...
Yeah.
That... There's, like, so many other...
Yeah.
It's hard to even find the words to say it because I can't...
You can't go too far down that road because then it gets controversial.
Right. Too. And I don't want this to be controversial. That's what I'm trying to say.
Yeah.
It doesn't need to be controversial. It's already controversial. Like,
a murder.
The act, it's exactly the act itself is controversial. Hmm. And I understand why people try and bring all these other layers into it and why they try and justify how that it was preventable.
It's human nature to want to fix things.
Yeah.
But you can't do that here.
And sometimes you can't do that here. And sometimes in the immediate aftermath of something like this, it's not even worth having this the discussion of trying to fix something, because it can't be fixed. It just can't be.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, that's shitty. Like, that sucks about the world. But that's just the way life is, and it's the way the world works.
Yeah.
And I hope that some people will hear this, and if they were one of those people, I hope that they will feel bad.
Yeah.
And I'm not trying to say that anybody that does do that is a bad person or anything like that, but I'm just trying to say that this is not the time.
Yeah. You know, we've seen it happen from both sides of the aisle at one point or another for, you know, varying topics, but at the same time, you have to put yourself in the position of the people who are close to her and what they would want. Like, you know, show some respect.
Yeah.
You
know? And I'm sure there will come a time when something is done to memorialize her, whether it be naming something after her or a scholarship or a statue or something, I don't know. But I just think right now, like, just like think about her, you know, and think about her family and pray for all the people that loved her.
Yep.
And just like hug somebody in Cyclone Nation, because it's just like, it just sucks.
You never know when something bad's gonna happen.
Yeah. And like I said, it feels silly to think about anything besides this today.
Yeah.
Because, sitting in that press conference with Jamie Pollard, I'm sitting there and I'm just like, man, I can't imagine how some reporters do this all the time.
Yeah.
Because it is so overwhelming. And that is not, I did not get into this profession to cover these kinds of things.
Yeah.
And sometimes it's just, you can't, obviously you don't dictate the news, you just report the news.
Mm-hmm.
And this is one of the days when the news just like really made me sick. And it's just made me sick to my stomach the entire day.
Yeah.
And being around it has been really, really hard.
Yep.
And I just hurt for all those people that are without a loved one today.
Yep. I'm there with you. But, I guess we're gonna take some mailbag questions.
Yeah, we are gonna take some mailbag questions. Before that, though, we are gonna do 30 seconds of just silence, and I just want people to, I don't care if you want to pray, whatever you want to do, just think about Thelia Barquin, Rosamina, and think about her loved ones, and let's just spend 30 seconds reflecting on a great cyclone. And even though we didn't know her name really before today, if you don't cover Iowa State women's golf or follow Iowa State's women's golf closely, I still think that a great member of Cyclone Nation deserves that.
Yep.
So 30 seconds, and then we will we'll take a quick break, and then we'll answer some mailbag questions. We'll be back with more Stands and Fits after this on the Cyclone Fanatic Podcast Network.
Hey guys, it's Chris Williams. We're in the heart of football season now, and I got to tell you, I feel a lot better than I did a year ago, and I owe a lot of that to Dr. Kruger at the Ames Eye Clinic. Also, their Des Moines location they're called Des Moines Eye Care in Des Moines. Same guys, really great eye doctors. I never thought that I had eye problems. I don't really have problems seen or anything like that, but I was suffering from chronic headaches. I mean, it was nonstop. I always had a headache. And I think a lot of it was because I stared at a screen all day. Dr. Kruger took a look at my eyes, took him about a half hour, and he knew exactly what was wrong. Prescribed me some glasses that now I use while I'm on my computer, while I'm working for you guys at Cyclone Fanatic all day. And man, has it made a difference. I'm even sleeping better. I challenge you, if you have a problem like this, any sort of eye problem, to contact our friends at Des Moines Eye Care and the Ames Eye Clinic. You can check out DesMoinesEyeCare.com or AmesEyeClinic.com. I would encourage you to do this and tell them that we sent you. Tell them thank you for supporting what we're doing here at Cyclone Fanatic.
Welcome back to Stands and Fits on the Cyclone Fanatic Podcast Network. All right, man, let's answer some mailbag questions. You're not going to – okay, first of all, you're not going to write the mailbag this week, correct?
Correct. I think – you know, I posted the thread on the forum this morning, and, you know, I was kind of debating on whether I should even do that or not.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, when I kind of sat down to write on this afternoon, start writing, and I kind of, you know, how do I, you know, get the mailbag voice that I usually have going on a,
yeah.
on a you know, kind of a sad day like this. So
you're going to write something else. So,
I'm going to write something else.
Okay.
And yeah, we can not leave people hanging by answering their questions here on the podcast.
We will do that. We'll answer 10 questions or so now, and then we will take another break and answer however many more questions remain.
Sounds good. All right. We'll start at the top with Gunner Clone today. If ISU was forced to change their mascot/logo/nickname, what would you change it to? So when I read this earlier, I can kick it off here. I was thinking, you know, it could be something that Iowa State has something to do with, like, you know, he's known for.
Yeah.
So my thought was, oh, do you do something to do with George Washington Carver, or do you do something to do with, like, you know, the first digital computer or something like that?
Yeah.
So I was thinking, like, do you do something like, I don't know, computer related, like bytes or mega, I don't know, something nerdy.
Man, that would be imagine if Iowa State's mascot was a big, like, floppy disk or something.
The Iowa State floppy disks.
Yeah, no, I was just thinking if it was the bytes, like, what's their mascot gonna be?
That could be that could have been it. Yeah,
I mean, I think the natural one would be Cardinals. Isn't that what the
I think that's what
the original nickname was.
And you could also do something, you know, involved with the Manhattan Project too, like the, I don't know,
that wouldn't be a heavy subject content to draw your mascot
That's the thing, yeah. The whole, you know, being responsible for the deaths of many is not ideal.
Well, I mean, yeah,
I guess Cyclones
a small
could be
portion
too.
Of that, but yeah.
But still.
Man, okay, what else could there be? I don't think we would want to do anything with corn.
But naturally,
that corner's kind of been taken.
That's going to come up, though. It could be like the farmers or something, the combines.
Did you really just say that could be the Iowa State combines?
Yeah. I mean, hell.
I don't know that we'd be doing any – I don't think it would be possible for them to put any more – to do anything worse for the reputation of the urban areas in the city of – or in the state of Iowa than to be the Iowa State combines.
I mean
– I think the Aggies would be one that they could – would be possible.
Yeah, but I mean, Texas A&M already has that.
Like, does New Mexico State.
Yeah, true. But I mean, still, that'd be viewed as copying at this point.
Well, okay, so yeah, so it's got to be something original then.
Well, I would say original or very, very rarely used.
Okay, so then what is there? What's kind of like an animal that Iowa has that they don't have in many other places of, like, in many other areas of the country?
I mean, I guess Iowa's kind of known for its, you know, hunting deer population, I guess.
Yeah.
I wouldn't really connect that to Iowa State.
Deer are vermin, though.
Yeah.
Their population must be controlled.
And, you know, the Iowa State Bucks. I don't know.
That's actually not bad.
That's used in Milwaukee already in the NBA, but...
Yeah, but there's a lot of those that are reused and stuff like that.
And I can't think of one off the top of my head that's in the college level.
Iowa State, I mean, Iowa State Cyclones just rolls off the tongue, so well.
You know, honestly, I love the Cyclones as a mascot.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't think I could change it.
Yeah.
You know, even in like a hypothetical, I can't think of something that would really.
But we have, okay, to close this out, I think we have to settle on something. We have to settle on something.
The Iowa State.
You know, I still kind of like combines.
The Iowa State Tractors, brought to you by John Deere. Oh wait, no, we're Case IH. Sorry.
Yeah, it's Case IH.
Brought to you by Case IH.
Yeah.
We are in the Iowa State Combines, brought to you by Case IH, are entering the Case IH red zone.
If we didn't already have the Iowa Energy, then we could do the if that wasn't already a thing at one point, then you know, we could do them. Mid-American Energy.
Yeah. The Iowa State.
Here's a great solution. Iowa State Tornadoes. Let's go from Cyclones to Tornadoes.
That's pretty good.
That's kind of a cheat code.
I was thinking even like the Iowa State Jacks, like for Jack Trice or something like
that. Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's something.
But that, I guess that is South Dakota State too.
That's kind of, well, but they're the Jack Rabbits, I guess, technically.
Yeah.
The Jacks is different. I don't know. You could do, is there something else like Jack Trice related that you could do, I guess?
No, yeah, probably not.
Trices doesn't really work.
No. Okay, I think we should just move on. We've thought of all these different names. I don't think we've thought of a good, a really solid one yet.
Tornadoes, man.
I'm gonna look up animals indigenous to Iowa.
The goldfinch is the state bird.
Yeah, I think that the, I don't know that we would want to.
Are they too puny and unintimidating?
The Iowa State goldfinches?
Yeah.
I think I'd pass on that one.
All right.
Did you know that there's beavers in Iowa?
I wouldn't have said that there was many, but I guess I'm not surprised.
Yeah, there's a beaver that lives behind my apartment.
Really? Like like a full on like build a dam beaver?
Yeah, I have not seen its dam. I've been told that it is there, but sometimes when I'm out on my patio late at night, you can hear it. Chewing, like trying to chew down stuff.
Really?
Yeah, and then sometimes you'll walk back there and it's, you know, there.
So has Lolo ever come across this beaver?
No, I've never actually even seen it, to be completely honest. All right, so here's some
indigenous animals.
There
are bobcats in Iowa.
Yeah, the Iowa State bobcats would be all right.
Seems like bobcats is fairly used though.
What about the bats?
Bats is okay.
Iowa State bats.
You could call us the Batman then.
There we go. That's a good one. I actually think Iowa State bucks wouldn't be that bad. Like that's kind of a cool one.
Yeah, and you know I think that it rolls off the tongue okay too.
Mm-hmm. And the Iowa State snapping turtles.
There are a lot of snapping turtles.
The Iowa State catfish.
That could be taken a wrong way, though.
Ah, true. Not until relatively recently, though.
True. But, I mean, if you're rebranding it now, then that has to be taken into account.
That's true. What is a vole?
A foal?
A vole.
A vole. I have no idea what a vole is.
Mountain lions. The Iowa State mountain lions. I don't want to read your PDF. Sorry. Okay, I'm done. Sorry, DNR. I don't want to read your PDF. All right, what's next?
Let me pull it up here. All right, so second question. This is a good one. I read this one earlier as well. From B787, if you're stuck on a deserted island and had an iPad, parentheses, no internet, what would be loaded on it? Only one of each. You get a movie, you get a TV show that includes all seasons, and you get one historical ISU game. Assume you're going to be here for 10 years and food, water, and battery life are not an issue.
10 years. So you get to watch one movie, one show with every season.
Yep.
And what was the last one?
One historical ISU game.
One historical ISU game. Okay, the historical ISU game I would choose would probably be the comeback against Oklahoma in basketball in 2015.
We know the one you're talking about, though.
Yeah, the whatever it was, 28-0 run that there, yeah. Whatever the final score, I can't remember
that
what the final run
one.
Was. But that video still gives me goosebumps to watch just the comeback.
Yeah, that was super exciting and super obviously fun.
What would be yours?
I think if I had to choose one, I'd have to go with – I'd just go with the Oklahoma win last year, I think.
That's a good one, too. I think the TCU game would be a good one.
It would. I would think – for me personally, the Oklahoma one stands out just because there was more offense, and I think it was overall just more an entertaining game. Mm-hmm. The TCU game was fun to be in the stands for, but, you know, obviously lower scoring.
That day when they beat Oklahoma, I will never forget that day. Yeah. Everything
conspired to, like, you know, coming down the stretch went Iowa State's way for once.
Well, and just the way that the day went, I mean, that was our first game watch.
Yeah. And we got down fast.
Yeah, and got down fast. everybody just thought they were going to lose.
It's another typical Iowa State beat down at the hands of Oklahoma.
Right. And I remember that we were having it at Whiskey River, and they had some deal that was like dollar crown shots.
Oh, really?
For whenever Iowa State would score. And at that point, I mean, when they started to score, it was like, all I got to do today is write like a 200 words. You know, they lost 50 to 14.
Yeah.
You know, Oklahoma, Baker Mayfield did his thing, all this stuff. Maybe get some quotes from Matt Campbell on the Cyclone Radio Network, and that was it. And then that did not end up being what happened.
You started taking more shots.
No, I didn't. I want to say I did not buy any of the shots, but they would magically appear in front of me after Iowa State scores.
Yep.
Shout out to Austin Hurst. That dude kept bringing me crown shots, him and Shelby.
Nice.
And when that game got over, I remember, like, you know, everybody's celebrating and all this stuff. We're all excited. Mm-hmm. And then after it kind of died down, it was like it just all of a sudden hit me. And I feel like my eyes got really big. I was like, oh, no.
Yeah.
I have to do a lot of work now.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. Are there any other ones that you think would fit into the
I was trying to think
possibilities?
Any of the Big 12 championship basketball games, like winning the Big 12 tournament recently, would be good.
I would say the West Virginia one would probably be good.
Yep.
I think the game against Kansas.
Yep.
I think it was that same year in 15.
The North Carolina basketball game, the DeAndre Kane year where they beat them in NCAA tournament was good.
Mm-hmm.
And then obviously you got to throw in the 2011 Oklahoma State game as well.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I mean, I'm sure there's a lot more even.
Yeah, like that, beyond, you know.
Yeah.
Before we were really
the 2011 Iowa game would probably be rather entertaining.
Yeah, that was super entertaining.
I think the Oklahoma State shot games with Naz's shots.
Those are great. Another one would be 2002 Iowa game football.
2005 Iowa.
Yep.
When they won 23-3 or whatever it was.
Yep, when they weren't expected to win.
Yeah. The Iowa, either of those Iowa basketball games in Hilton.
Yep.
When Monta hit the shot and then when George hit the shot to win. I think any of those would, man, we just should have let, like, he should have just given us one basketball game, one football game. Because now there's so many more games to choose from.
There are.
That thought of. All right. So now there's a movie.
Yep. You get one movie.
What's your movie?
I haven't really thought about this that much yet. But, I mean, my favorite movies are Star Wars. But I'm not sure I want to pick
one.
Any one Star Wars. Yeah.
Yeah. Because you know that if you had watched one, then you'd be like, man, now I want to watch the rest
of them. Exactly. If I watched A New Hope, then I want to roll right into Empire Strikes Back. But
yeah,
that's not possible. You know, a movie, it's kind of like a weird pick, but a movie that I enjoy watching and I think would work well like on a desert island like setting is Life of Pi. I don't know if you've ever seen
it. That's the one with the tiger, right?
With the tiger in the boat.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know, it's kind of... It has all the emotions packed into it, but there's a sense of hope and optimism throughout it as well.
I think mine would be down to two. One would be Back to the Future, which is kind of in that same boat as Star Wars, which I think I would finish the first one and I'd be like, man.
Wish I could roll into two.
Yeah, now I got to see part two.
Yeah.
And then part two would get over. Part three isn't as good as either one of the first two.
I actually enjoyed Back to the Future part three.
Yeah, I like all of them, but... Yeah. I mean, obviously, the first one is the best one.
Yeah, it's the classic.
Yeah. Then the other one, I think, would be Field of Dreams.
That's a good one.
And I would probably choose that one because not only is it not a series, so it doesn't make you want to watch the next one when it gets over, but it also would be like the one when you just really miss home, you know?
Yeah.
And you miss your family and, like, all kinds of stuff like that.
Yeah.
And you can just watch Field of Dreams. And then just kind of it, you almost can feel like you're back, like on in Iowa.
And that's another movie. Like by the end of it, you feel good.
Yeah.
Too.
I don't know how I would feel watching it on a desert island.
Yeah.
Because then it might be like, man, now I really miss my family.
Especially after the 100th and 1,000th time you watch it. Too.
Exactly. Yeah.
But I mean, that's the case for any movie. Eventually, they're all going to get to that point.
Right. Then with TV show, this one's easy for me. It would definitely be The Office.
Yeah, it's either The Office or something like Lost for me.
Man, I don't know if I could watch. Actually, you know what? Maybe I could watch Lost, because then maybe I'd finally really truly understand like what happened in the show.
It's so crazy. And, you know, obviously it'd be topical since you're on an island by yourself. But I like The Office pick just because I think that's the greatest TV series of all time.
Oh, yeah. And that one, there's so many episodes and they're all different enough.
And you laugh at every episode.
Right.
Too.
And just like your mood, depending on what your mood is, it's like, okay, I'm going to watch this one.
Yeah. And that's what makes that different from Lost, because there are some episodes of Lost that like you feel really bad after.
Has there ever been another TV show that ended so satisfyingly, but also so unsatisfyingly at one time as Lost did? Because that show had so many holes at the end, like so many questions that were just like loose ends that they never tied up.
As far as both satisfyingly and unsatisfyingly, you could argue How I Met Your Mother. I don't know if you've ever seen the end of that.
Yeah, that's fair. Because I definitely get that one. Yeah. The finale of that one, they're kind of the same for me, because I don't know how many shows that I've ever watched on first run.
Yeah.
That when they ended, it was like you like really remember watching that last episode. Because I don't even think I watched the last episode of The Office on its first run. I'd kind of stopped watching it after Steve Carell left.
Yeah.
I've seen it now, but back then it was just like you lost interest a little bit. But Lost, the spoilers to anybody that hasn't seen this show that ended 10 years ago, it just like, It got over and you're kind of like, okay, so wait, what was the point of all of this?
Yeah.
You know? And it's like, was any of it real or was any of it not real?
Yeah. And, you know, it's the kind of thing where, is a TV show supposed to leave you hanging with like, I have more questions now? Or is it supposed to tie up all loose ends?
Right. And that's what was frustrating about it, is that you don't know whether they wanted it to be a show that you continued to think about for a long time, or if they really just wanted to, you know, end it and have it be like everything's tied up.
Yeah.
I would prefer for it to be everything tied up and it's just like, okay, now the show is over. I know exactly what everything meant and it's done. And in that one, I did not feel that way.
Admittedly, I have never seen Breaking Bad.
Breaking Bad is great. That one actually ties everything together.
That's what I was going to comment. Everyone that I've heard who has watched it says that it tied it up really well.
Yeah. It's one of those ones that it took me a long time to get like going in that show, really get into it and get through the, like, I think you probably get through the first like two seasons before you're really
hooked
on it, you know? But once you can get, or maybe even like five episodes or so, but once you like get through those, it's like, man, this show is crazy.
Yeah.
You know? But Lost was one of those ones where it was like every episode would answer one question, but then it would present seven more. And then only like three out of the seven would ever get answered. And that's just like it. That's why when the show ends, there's like 50 different questions that are just left. And you're like, okay, so what?
Yeah. And
I'm afraid that's what Westworld will be. I don't know if you've watched
it. I haven't watched it yet. I want to watch both Westworld and Breaking Bad at some point. But yeah,
Westworld is very good. The one thing that's good about Breaking Bad is you can just watch the whole thing now. Westworld, you know, you watch one season.
Yeah.
And then you had to wait like 2 years for season two. And now I probably have to wait 2 more years for season three.
And that's kind of the way I have been. Like I started watching Mr. Robot. I don't know if you watched it.
I've never watched it, but I've heard of it.
Mr. Robot. Yeah. I watched the first two seasons back to back just because that's when I started. Like they would both been out at that point. Mm-hmm. And then season three came out and it's like, oh, I'm watching that in real time. And now, you know, we're waiting forever for season four, which is going to be the last season. So.
There's another one. Do you watch Game of Thrones?
I do. I had considered that as well. That's just so... Game of Thrones is not one that you watch and end an episode feeling good, though. Like there are a lot of times where you feel super bad after watching Game of Thrones.
I am 100% against Game of Thrones.
Really? Okay, I've never heard this before. Why?
Okay, so I've watched probably like 8 episodes total. Like I've gotten 8 episodes into the first season.
Okay.
And I am not one of those people that, okay, very rarely. I don't watch Netflix. Like I don't watch HBO. Like I don't binge watch shows.
Yeah.
That's why I like to watch shows on first run. I always have like, you know, like in the spring it was Westworld in Atlanta. Now it's Better Call Saul and a show called Mr. Mercedes. And like there's just a couple shows, like I can handle like 2 shows at a time and I'll watch them on first run.
Yep.
But with Game of Thrones, I started to watch And if I'm just watching a show like that, I'm not going to be engaged the entire time.
Yeah.
If I had started watching it on first run and it was like, okay, watch this episode, and then I wait a week and I watch another episode, I think that I could have done it.
Yeah.
But it was so hard for me to keep track of everything because I don't pay close enough attention.
And I think in the first season of Game of Thrones, people might disagree, but I think they were still getting the hang of making it so it was obvious to know everything was going on.
Yeah. Like, there's so many characters and stuff. It was just so hard for me to keep track of everything.
I completely agree. And I think they do a better job about that, like, as they get along, because you know, you have to keep on coming back to a character to see what's going on now, that kind of thing. I think they got their groove probably in the second or third season.
Have you watched True Detective?
I have not.
Man, season two isn't as good, but season one is
really good.
Man, we really kind of went down this rabbit hole, but
we did.
I don't know if I could recommend a better 7-episode stretch of television than that show.
That good, huh?
It's one that is kind of, there's a lot of talking. It's not a bunch of action or anything like that. And it's not like you just got to listen to, like, Matthew McConaughey and Woody Harrelson kind of, you know, go on soliloquies about stuff. And I mean, the acting is phenomenal. Great show. I would highly recommend that show to anybody.
All right.
It has been 20 minutes. We've gotten through two questions. So
we better move on.
Yeah, we better move on to the next one.
Okay. Another question from the same user. I'm just going to skip so we can get to as many users as possible. Sorry, there, B787 again. So Triple Z, ZZZ asks, what is your ideal tailgating weather, as well as what is your favorite kickoff time?
Ideal tailgating weather. I don't know, like 60 or like high 60s, low 70s and sunny.
For me, it's
low humidity.
I want it to be a little bit on the chilly side, so I go 60. I would say if you ask me perfect weather in general, it would be definitely like 70 or 72 or something like that. But I want it a little bit colder just because I love that fall feel for weather.
Well, and then you can throw a sweatshirt on.
Yeah, you have the option of wearing a sweater or shorts.
Right.
You know.
Exactly. Yeah, I'd probably agree with that. My favorite kickoff time, as a fan, probably 7, you know, late night under the lights. This is such a typical journalist answer, but as a writer, probably 11.
Yeah.
Let me preface this. 11, if it's later than like the last week of September, and if it is
you know, November 1st.
Right. Yeah. And the sun is not blazing hot. I mean, I said this yesterday on my podcast with Jeff. I felt like an ant under a small child's magnifying glass on Saturday at the game. It was so hot in the press box.
Before the day started, I didn't realize it was supposed to be that hot either.
Yeah.
But
I would be surprised if it did not get over 100 degrees in the press box for a period of time.
Mm.
It felt like sitting in a sauna.
Yeah.
And just like, you're so close with all these people. I was dripping sweat. I put my computer away because I thought that I was going to damage my computer. I was sweating so bad.
Yeah, that's really bad.
Yeah.
Do they not have very good air conditioning up there?
There is no air conditioning at all.
Well, that explains it.
Yeah, and there's fans, but I sit in the first row and the fans aren't in the first row. They're in the second and third rows. So you don't get to feel any of the effect of the sun or of the fans, but you feel plenty of the effect of the sun.
Yeah, as I say.
And it beats right in your face for about the first quarter and a half.
Lovely.
All right, what?
So I was just going to say,
what's yours?
My perfect time, I think I like the 2:30 kick slot just because, you know, you get there for the tailgate. You get to watch, you know, one of those early 11 o'clock games at the tailgate, but then you're not going to, you know, be going home super late at night.
Yeah.
It's kind of a happy medium.
For my job, I like the 11 because I don't get to watch any morning game. I don't get to watch any afternoon game. And then at least I know I'll get to get home and watch some of whatever the night game is.
Yeah, because usually the nightly lineup is the best slate of games anyway.
Exactly. I thought the 4 o'clock kick at Iowa City was cool. I think that would be cool in Ames to have a kick at that time.
Yeah.
Just because the game starts when it's light outside, but then it's under the lights by the time the game's over.
Yep.
All right, what do we got next?
All right, from SciRide1, we've got, what are the chances Zeb remains the starter when Kyle gets healthy if he plays well while Kyle is injured?
I would say that the chances are pretty good.
I would also agree. I would say it's like 90% sure that if assuming Kyle Kemp is probably ready for the game after Akron, but Zeb has a good game against Akron, then that will have been two good games where he's got the offense going. And I think at that point, he's earned the right to stay you know, as the starter?
At this point, I would just say assume Zeb Nolan will be the starting quarterback until
he messes up.
Until you are told otherwise. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Until you are told otherwise,
yeah.
Assume Zeb Nolan will be the starting quarterback.
Yeah. So basically, Zeb Nolan is Iowa State's starting quarterback until he's
other until otherwise.
Yeah.
Notified.
That's a safe assumption.
All right.
Rolling on. Sigmopolis. I don't know if that's how you say it or not. Or is it Sigmopolis? I don't know.
It's probably Sigmopolis.
Sigmopolis? Okay. Sigmopolis asks, starting lineup for basketball for Alabama State, which is the opening night, and then starting lineup for basketball for Oklahoma State, which is the opening Big 12.
Okay. Well, Lindell Wigginton.
Yep.
That's one.
Do you think Cam Lard immediately gets put back in or not?
Yeah.
Okay.
So Cam's two. Shayok is three.
Yep.
I would say Solomon is four for the first game.
And I would think, do you think Nick Waller-Babb's going to start over THT to start or not?
Yeah, probably.
Okay.
That would probably be my five.
I agree. But then
for game one.
For game one. But then I think for the Big 12 opener, I think Solomon will have gone to the bench.
Yeah, I think that by the Big 12 opener, it will probably be Lindell again, obviously.
Shayok.
Cam again. Shayok, Michael Jacobson, and THT. That would be my best guess.
I am in complete agreement with you.
I think that Tyrese Haliburton is going to play more this year than what we realized.
Do you? I know he's very slight.
The kid is legit, dude.
Is he that good?
He's a good player.
Really?
Yeah. So, I think George Condit's going to play quite a bit too.
He looked good in on the Puerto Rican national team.
He gives them just a little. I mean, Cam's a good rim protector, but Cam also gets a little bit wild with his rim protection. So unless he reined that in, his ability to run the floor, it gives them just another
dimension.
And I mean, Cam runs the floor really well too, but when you've got two guys like that, when you can take Cam off of the court and put George Condit in, and you don't really lose anything in that, in the rim protection and in the rim running area, I think that that's very valuable.
Yeah,
but I think the thing that I like about Haliburton, his passing ability is something that I think that they're really going to need.
Oh, really?
He is a guy that obviously he can score. He was the MVP of the Cap City League because he was the league's leading, or he wasn't the leading scorer, but put up points. But I think that he has like that pass first mentality that seeing those passing lanes that will make him an interesting option off the bench, someone to come in and move Lindell off the ball.
So I know you didn't necessarily follow Iowa State as closely back then, but would you say he's kind of comparable to an early Deontay Garrett in a way?
I guess maybe.
Okay.
The person I actually watching him, the way he passes, the way he throws the ball ahead, and just some of the lanes that he sees, he reminds me of Lonzo Ball without the strength and without the shooting.
That's
at the college level.
That's a real high praise, honestly, for passing ability.
I'm not saying he is Lonzo Ball.
He's
like a more unrefined version of him.
But he has the potential to get to where Lonzo was.
There's just something about guys that have that vision that I'm not trying to say that I'm like a basketball genius or anything like that, but I think that I've spent enough time around the game and just like watching people and seeing really good players live. There's just something about them, like just an air about them and an air about the passes that they make that it's like, man, that dude is special.
Yeah.
And that's what I see from Tyrese. I don't know how much we'll see it in year one. I think we'll see it some.
Yep.
But I think Monte had some of that of him too, where it's just like, this dude is something else.
So that's interesting because, you know, if you polled fans on the incoming freshmen who they'd probably expect to redshirt the most, I think most of them would say Tyrese Haliburton.
Yeah, Tyrese or Condit.
Or Condit.
As of right now, I would not expect any of them to redshirt, honestly.
Interesting. So then, the funny thing is, like, when we talk about this class, you always think of Talon Horton Tucker. You think of, obviously, George Condit. And then I almost even forget about Zion Griffin, but
And I was actually going to say Zion will play too.
Yeah. Cause he has a Big 12 body already.
Yeah. Well, and the thing is they're going to have so many guys and so much versatility. It's going to be interesting to see the way Coach Prohm just uses all of that.
Yeah.
Because I wouldn't be surprised if there's some games where, you know, Tyrese or George Condit plays 20 minutes, and then in the next game they might play two.
Yeah.
Or they might not play at all. And it's just that kind of thing, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I can see that happening, but on the other hand, it seems like every year when you talk about, like, Iowa State could go this deep, they always seem to whittle it down to eight guys.
Oh, yeah. Well, by the end, like, you're just going to put your best eight out there, you know?
Yeah.
That's what everybody's going to do.
So is your assessment there more aimed towards the non-conference part of the schedule?
It's just aimed throughout the entire season. You know, some guys just match – I mean, that's the thing. Like, even say you get against a team in the NCAA tournament where it's like, man, we really think that, you know, Condit's length – could really play a big role and could really benefit us in this game.
Yeah.
Or we feel like Tyrese's passing ability could really benefit us in this game. Zion's strength, you know, could really benefit us here. That's when it's like, okay, you know, we're glad that we played him 20 minutes against Kansas State or whoever to get him that preparation to then when it's March and maybe he hasn't been as deep in the rotation, you know, over the past several games, but it's like, all right, kid, like, it's your time. Let's go out there. We got to get good minutes from you.
Yeah.
That's how I see it kind of going. And you just, it's hard to manage that kind of stuff, but you just have to hope that Coach Prohm can do it.
Yep. You want to take a quick break here?
Yeah, we'll take a quick break. We'll be right back on Stands and Fits on the Cyclone Fanatic Podcast Network.
Hello, Fanatics. This is Chris Williams. There are few financial commitments you will make in your life that are more important than where to get your mortgage from. That's why I want to tell you about my friend Jason Larson at Gershman Mortgage in Ankeny. Here's a real review from a client on Facebook. Jason was amazing to work with. He kept in contact with us where we were at throughout the whole process. When we went to sign, he had coffee and donuts for us that morning. He was super kind and helpful, and we said we would refer him to anyone looking to buy a home. Now, that's just one review. Jason Larson, Gershman Mortgage in Ankeny, is an equal housing lender. Their NMLS number is 138063. Give them a call at 515-554-6177. Please tell him that Chris Williams and Cyclone Fanatics sent you. Hey, guys, it's Williams here. On the podcast, on our radio shows, we talk a lot about point spreads, you know, all that stuff. To be honest, I'm not a big bettor, but I'm really just fascinated by that industry. And I want to recommend a service to you guys today if you're interested in that sort of thing. MyBookie.ag is the website. If you join right now and if you give them our promo code, they will match your deposit dollar for dollar. This is a really good deal. Our promo code is 2427. Again, that promo code is 2427. They have live in-game, live betting. They're in the business for you fantasy guys out there. You can bet over-under on fantasy points for players. There's all sorts of really cool things. MyBookie.ag. Again, that promo code is 2427. You play, you win, you get paid. MyBookie.ag.
Welcome back to Stands and Fits on the Cyclone Fanatic Podcast Network. All right, back to the mailbag.
Rolling on. Okay, so this one comes from...
How many questions do you usually answer in a normal mailbag?
Usually I shoot for like between 10 to 15.
Oh, God. Okay. Well, we're at 5, so...
Yeah.
We'll probably get to 10, but we'll just see.
So this one, I see three.
I'm just going to warn everyone, this might end up as the longest podcast in the history of Cyclone Fanatic, but we'll see what happens here.
It could. We'll see. Okay, so this is from Ted Kumsher asks.
Ted, what?
Kumsher. K-U-M-S-H-E-R.
Okay.
Yeah, get your mind out of the gutter.
Yeah, okay, fair enough.
All right, the mass of players near the sideline that motions into the Wildcat play. One, do we see it motion into a non-Wildcat at some point? Let's answer that first. I would say no. I think it's always,
probably not.
I would say it's always going to be the Wildcat.
I would be interested to know why they do that, though.
Agreed. I think it's probably just to make the defense, you know, have to shift too.
Yeah.
Or something.
Just confuse people.
Yeah. Two, I'd love to see Montgomery get the snap and run an option pitch with Kanae.
I don't think Kanae's ever on the field in that play.
I don't think so either, unfortunately.
At least we never have seen him before.
I would agree that would be interesting, but I don't think we're going to see that this year.
Okay, this actually goes back to the first point of that. There is a... I don't think that all those guys would be eligible receivers. I know for sure the guy that would be like third, like I think it's David that's way at the back of that diamond that they do.
Yep.
I don't think he would be an eligible receiver. So they'd have to throw him the ball like immediately, I guess, if they were going to throw him the
ball. I wonder if the one thing that they will do if they don't shift it, I wonder if they'll snap the ball, do a backwards pass to David, and then hit someone on the backside or something.
Yeah,
or
maybe.
Or over the top.
I don't have a good enough grasp on like what eligible receivers and ineligible receivers, so that would have to – I'd have to ask somebody that really knows stuff.
Yeah.
That's a question for Jay.
There you go. Jay or Jeff.
Yeah.
Either one.
All right. So then the get it with Kinne. Yeah, for one, Kinne'd probably have to be on the field. Two, unless you're going to put him in motion, we've only ever seen David back there by himself. So then you'd have to completely change the way the formation looks.
Yeah, DeShonte Jones has come across in motion, or at least on, you know, for the zone read kind of there.
But yeah,
that would have to be Kinne instead of DeShonte, I think.
Right.
Okay, so his third part of this question is, or I guess it's more of a statement. Montgomery gets the snap and then pitch and pass or double pass with the QB, which is kind of what I just said in a way.
Like he throws it to Zeb?
Yeah, he could throw it to Zeb as a backward pass, and I think, you know, and then there's still guys on the other side of the field, and you can hit one of them. Or Montgomery on the wheel route.
Man, that just feels like a lot.
It is a lot. And, you know, obviously it'd be fun to think about, but we can't really answer this with certainty either way, you know?
Right, exactly. Yeah, I have no idea.
So, interesting thoughts, but yeah, let's go ahead and go to the next one.
For sure.
Again, going to the next new user, Know Nothing asks, would Prohm take two freshman point guards?
Probably not. No, I think he would probably be more likely to take a JUCO.
Okay. I haven't really followed basketball recruiting that closely, so I'll trust your word there.
For sure.
Okay, moving on again. Sisk, I believe, S or CYCSK. Is that Sisk or Sisk?
I don't know.
Maybe it's Sisk because, you know, it's Cyclones. Mm-hmm. Anyways, he asks, where Orion Vance and Camilo Tongamoa?
Orion Vance played against Oklahoma. Briefly. Mm-hmm. He was on the field for a couple plays, I think. And
obviously Tongamoa got dinged in the offseason for his off the field stuff,
right?
And I think that's put him down the depth chart. They don't really need him at this point.
I just don't think he's in the rotation.
Okay, but yeah, Orion Vance, I would say that up until Bobby McMillan got hurt, I think, you know, Mike Rose had beat him out on talent, pure talent, and I think probably McMillan and him were kind of on the same level, but McMillan was the more experienced guy there, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Okay.
All right, moving on. SimonW1980 asks, any word... Okay, never mind. It's another Camilo Tongamoa question. Sorry, buddy. Cy in the North asks, who looked worse, Brian Peavy getting hurled over or Oklahoma's running back getting absolutely annihilated by Mike Rose as he tried to stick the landing? And... let's see, they added something else. And can someone please tell the TV guys that 6 yards through the air on that play is a ludicrous assertion?
I would say that probably the running back did.
You think he looked worse?
Yeah.
Really?
Because I just don't think that hurdle really did that much. He probably could have just tried to run Brian over.
See, I would say, me personally, I'd go with Brian Peavy looked worse there. But I think that, I don't know. I just don't think that getting hit by a linebacker is that bad of a thing. But if you get completely hurdled, then you're kind of on the low light reel.
Yeah, I suppose. But I mean, I think that it would probably have been worse. I said this on yesterday with Jeff. I just don't think that hurdle really amounted to that much.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it was like, yeah, it looked cool.
It was the kind of thing where they cut that 1 second clip and put it on their highlight reel at the end of the year.
Exactly. Yeah.
But then edited it right
after he hit the ground to avoid the fact that he got drilled.
Exactly. Okay. Doc, oh, never mind. He's responding to someone else. Sorry, Doc. Cyclones500 asks, if you had to select one play in each of the games versus Iowa and Oklahoma that turned it in their favor, what would it be?
Against Iowa, one of those plays on the goal line.
Yeah.
And then against Oklahoma, the fumble that wasn't, the one that got overturned.
Because
I think that they were down 7 at that point. Maybe?
Yeah, I think you're right. Yep. Because I have a distinct memory that we would have gotten the ball back and had the chance to tie. So I'm pretty sure you're right.
Yeah, I think that those would be the two that I would pick.
I would agree with you. I don't, you know, honestly, those games, they didn't really have any one play. Like, there was a lot in the Oklahoma game that, like, you wish you could have stopped, you know.
That was one where it's like, okay, we're blatantly taking the ball away from them.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And not just, like, I mean, any of those other times, it's like, oh, if you stop them, okay, well, then they've still got more downs.
Yeah.
Yeah, those are the ones I'd probably pick. Or maybe a third down at some point in the game or something.
Yeah, just anything to force a punt, an extra punt.
Yeah.
Okay. Blah 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 blah. Oh, I guess that was it. So wait, we have a couple extra repeat questions here.
Okay. So we're good.
We'll do those. Well, we have a couple more that I can use.
Oh, okay.
So we have like two more, and then we can go into our picks for underrated underdog. So, Cyclone 500 again asks, men's basketball preseason mags, Athlon picked Iowa State 5th in the Big 12. Lindy's has Iowa State 7th. Which of these forecasts is more accurate?
I'd say 5th.
I agree.
I mean, that's not a very big range, but I mean, 5th to 7th probably is like one game, two games maybe.
Because the middle of the pack of Big 12 is going to be so tight this year.
Exactly.
It's going to be Kansas and then everyone else basically.
Right. So, yeah, I'd probably say, fifth.
Okay. Now, I know we had one other unique question. Trying to find it here. Bad radio.
Scrolling.
That's right. Okay, yep. Going back to B787, this is a very commonly asked question. What does the future of college football look like after the next round of conference realignment? Where does Iowa State fit? What more does Iowa State need to do to ensure a Power 5 or equivalent home?
Keep winning games.
Yeah, honestly, that's it. Like,
keep improving the facilities.
Be a winning football program and position yourselves as like a big.
Yeah.
You know.
I mean, I think that Chris has talked about this a lot. I imagine that it will be very regionally based.
Yeah.
That's kind of my guess. There will probably be about half as many teams in the top level of college football as what there currently is. Yeah, I mean, that's kind of how I envision it.
I do think that as opposed to like 5 years ago when this was like a really big discussion, I don't think that TV markets are going to be as big of a deal as they were.
Right.
Like, I think Rutgers and Maryland are proving right now in the Big Ten that isn't really like, you know, just getting those isn't that big of a win for the conference.
Exactly. Yeah, no, I don't think it will be near as big of a deal.
Yeah. Especially since everything's going more towards streaming anyway.
Right, exactly.
So.
Yeah. All right, is that it?
That is it, I believe.
Okay. Let's knock out underrated underdog real quick. This is the only thing we're going to do just because we need to
keep our picks going.
Yeah. Do you want to update anybody on how your pick did last week?
My Kansas Jayhawks did not.
Wait, no, you
lose.
Picked Rutgers.
I know.
Yeah.
Yeah, my Rutgers Scarlet Knights did not win.
They did not win.
Kansas,
they very much did not win.
Kansas annihilated Rutgers.
Yeah.
Which I would
annihilated them.
Again, like I would have thought that, hey, oh man, Kansas, they finally broke through. They got lucky against Central Michigan, but now they're going back to the doghouse. But no, they won two in a row, and they won in dominating fashion.
There you go. My team did won again. Syracuse, big win over the Florida State Seminoles.
That was a good call. Honestly, I would have picked them too. I think, you know, Syracuse is better than I think people think, and obviously Florida State's in shambles right
Florida
now.
Florida State is awful. Awful.
Yeah, terrible.
I wanted to pick against them again this week, but it appears as though they have a bye.
Oh, do they?
Yeah.
You'll have to wait one more week.
I think. Oh, wait, no, that's just because I was looking at the top 25.
Oh, was it? Here, I'll see.
I can find out right now, though.
I'll see if I can find them.
Florida State plays. Okay, no, they're playing Northern Illinois. They're probably not going to. I'll just roll with my normal one.
Okay.
All right, mine this week. Oregon, 1.5-point dogs to Stanford at home in Autzen Stadium. Justin Herbert throws all over the field. I think Bryce Love's coming back this week. Doesn't matter. Ducks, outright. Get the W.
I like it. I don't really have anything to add. Let's see. Did Stanford get beat by USC, or was it the other way around?
Stanford beat USC.
Okay. So that's a little bit of a bold call there, I would say. It's tough to go into Oregon and win.
I was
going
to say, it's tough to go into Autzen Stadium and get a W.
But still.
Ducks are playing pretty well, coming off of their win over San Jose State.
Nice.
They have big wins over Bowling Green, Portland State, and San Jose State coming into their top 25 matchup against the Stanford Cardinal.
Solid.
All right, who you got?
All right, my pick this week, since I am 0-3, obviously whichever team I pick loses, I'm going with Iowa to upset Wisconsin in Kinnick Stadium. Wisconsin is favored by 3.5 points. So I'm picking Iowa. They're definitely going to beat Wisconsin. I am fully confident in my pick. We'll move to 1-3 on the year.
I think you did win one, I think. No, wait, maybe no. You didn't. You're 0-2.
I didn't.
Okay. Oh, wait. So you're 0-3?
I'm 0-3, I'm pretty sure.
Man, that's...
But hey, we're picking underdogs here, dude.
It's too bad
you're making it look easy, honestly.
It's too bad we didn't put anything on this.
I know. It's too bad. But, yeah, so Iowa will definitely, wink, wink, beat Wisconsin.
Fair enough. All right, we got anything else to add?
I don't think so. That wraps up an interesting podcast.
Yeah, an interesting episode of Stands and Fits. We will be back again next week. Talk to you guys then. Wait, beat the Zips. Peace.